about 9:03. Let's get started. If you will, stand with me and we'll have our pledge and our prayer. All right, item one on our agenda is to offer an opportunity for public comment, request for information on any non-agenda items, and I haven't received any written requests to do that, but in case anybody missed that opportunity, is there anyone that has anything they'd like to address? All right, we'll move on to item number two, consider and possibly approve our minutes from last December 27th special meeting of the Commissioner's Court a couple of weeks ago.
Judge, I've reviewed those minutes with April, and there were no corrections, so I move that they be accepted.
Fantastic. Motion by Commissioner Boggs, second by Commissioner Hockaday. All those in favor of the acceptance of our minutes from last meeting, say aye.
Aye.
Thank you. Item number three, consider and possibly approve payment of postal delivery fees on old voter registration forms that may still be in circulation. If you'll recall last meeting, Mr. Rockwell explained a situation to us that I felt like needed our approval. And although we have new registration forms that may be out that are out there now, where anyone mailing those ballots in, or excuse me, those registration forms, these are not ballots. These are voter registration forms that may be mailed in for somebody who is not currently a voter that is registered in Titus County. If they would like to become a registered voter, there's a specific form that they can use. And of course, they can drop that off or fill that out at the voter registration office over there with Mr. Rockwell, but they can also pick these up at a number of other locations and mail them in. And the old form obligates the county to pay the postage once that is mailed in if they don't put a stamp on that. And because there are some of those still out there, they may come in. We don't expect this to be a significant amount at all, but nonetheless, we felt like we would put it on the agenda to approve going ahead and paying the postage on those old forms that may still be used that will come in. And so Commissioner Hockaday's made a motion that we pay that, and second by Commissioner Hinton. All those in favor of approval of those payments, say aye.
Aye.
All right, item number four. We continue to move into the 21st century, and we're going to consider and possibly approve today the installation of wireless internet service, or Wi-Fi, at any or all of our four courtrooms to be paid out of the Indigent Defense Fund. The locations for your consideration at this point would be this courtroom, Courtroom A and Courtroom B of District Court in the Annex, and the Justice Center. I've had quite a few conversations with several folks that might have input on this. At this time, here's my feelings, and we're going to have some discussion for you to hear from several folks. I don't know that we need to install it at all four of these locations right now. Sean Bryan is here from KBRO, and he'll correct me if I'm wrong on any of these. I'm not sure that there's going to be any economies of scale if we were to do all four courtrooms versus one or two. Perhaps we can start off small and expand later. After talking to the judges at the Justice Center, their opinion is wireless internet would not be a real strong need at this time. Let's wait and see how much benefit it provides at the other locations before we do that. And Courtroom B, we'll hear from Judge Woodson today as far as whether or not he thinks that whatever Judge Ralston may have told you, see if we think courtroom A and B are both necessary. My personal opinion is the number one priority location would be courtroom A in the district court. The number two location would be here in this courtroom. Number three would be courtroom B at district court, and number four would be the Justice Center as far as a priority order. I'm going to suggest perhaps the first one only or the first two only. We've received we've received a bid from Cabro to do this installation, and it's going to be roughly $2,500 per location. We have money available in our indigent defense fund due to a nice check that we received from the state this past year, and we have thus far used about how much did we spend on that copier? $12,000 a copier for the sheriff's office. As you'll recall, we made that approval. That was a badly needed item, and we now have remaining some $10,000 in this indigent defense fund, and it can be spent only on certain things. The wireless internet would be one that we could spend it on, and obviously if we covered all four courtrooms, we would spend all of that money. This is not money that we receive every year. I won't say that it was a one time, but I'm not going to assume that we're going to get any more of that for a while. So if we spend all that indigent defense money, we'll have nothing left for another project should it come up. And another project has been suggested, pursuing the ability to have video conferencing with the jail so that judges, attorneys could communicate with inmates in a way other than going over there to the jail. That is a possibility, but in my discussion with the folks that have say-so over the indigent defense monies, there is additional money available for a project such as that. So if we spend this entire $10,000, that still is a possibility. It would not have to be paid for just out of the indigent defense money that we have. So again, about $10,000 left. We could spend $2,500 of it, or $5,000 of it, or $75,000, or $10,000 and cover all four courtrooms, or we could spend only part of that and save the rest for something else. Maybe we would come back and visit the wireless internet 6 months, a year from now, if it proves to be something that's well received in whatever location we decide to put it in. So now I'm going to ask a couple of folks to speak towards this. I want to ask Judge Woodson to speak about this. I'll tell you what John Mark's feelings are. He was not able to be here this morning. He just came in from Army duty, but he's a strong proponent of this. And then I'll have Sean speak to you and tell you about some of the more technical aspects of providing Wi-Fi. So Judge Woodson, if you'd like to begin.
Before you,
and
Judge,
okay.
Can I interject?
Yes.
There's some questions that I'm going to have that maybe they can be answered. One is the cost. I've done this at my own location, put it installed Wi-Fi, and they the possibility exists that one unit can serve both B and A. I don't know that because of the construction of the walls, but mine reaches out seems a little high for what it costs me to do it. Another one is, will this system be password protected, or will it be available to the public when they come to the courtroom? Will they be able to access our internet service while they're in the courtroom, or is it just for employees and primaries and court cases? And another issue, has this been run through the IT committee? That's one thing.
Okay, very good. And those are good questions, and those are questions that have previously been asked, and I think that Sean will explain to you why the cost is a little higher, and it does have to do with security issues. So anyway, let's proceed. Judge? Would you come up here so we can get a good recording of you?
Thank you for allowing me to address the court. A courtroom, a district courtroom, a county courtroom, is a forum for the effective communication of information. And of course, this day and time, the wireless capability is a part of our daily lives. Whether we want it to be or not, it's here with us and it's here to stay and it's continuing to develop. I can't address the technical aspects of it, and that's one question, Commissioner Boggs, that I had about the serving more than one courtroom, because my experience has been, even attending conferences in different places, they usually give you a password and say that, you know, you can get on their wireless network while you're there attending that conference and use that service while you're there, and they can change that from time to time. I think the practical aspects of it is what I would address more specifically. And I think that it would be helpful. For instance, I have my personal iPad that I use now for calendars, and of course we travel from county to county, and so in those different counties it's good to have the wireless capability, because we can access resource materials, we can access Westlaw, the different things that we need to do from a statutory case law standpoint, research standpoint. However, also, most of our cases, many of our cases are criminal cases. A lot of those criminal cases are indigent type cases. And so even for the attorneys to have access while they're trying a case before a jury, in courtroom A, we try our jury trials. In courtroom B, we don't have the capability of doing that, but we do non-jury cases over there. So just from a practical standpoint, the court having access to the internet, the attorneys having access to the internet during the course of a case and the progress of a case, whether it be a jury or non-jury case, is very helpful. We are very thankful that we have a monitor in our courtroom now, a screen, where we can use to communicate information. For instance, just from a document standpoint, being able to show exhibits to the jury. And there are so many things now that the Supreme Court has required us to read as far as instructions. And it's kind of like the field of dreams, build it and they will come. Give it to us and we'll find uses for it, because there's lots of things we can do. It gives us more flexibility. It gives us the ability to communicate. For instance, in some courtrooms, you can be sitting on the bench and the clerk who's there in the courtroom can actually communicate back to the office, their office, without the clerk having to leave the bench, get something, retrieve it, and bring it back. So that's one possibility. Research, sometimes cases come up during a trial that can be accessed via the internet that are helpful to keep the case going. So it adds to the efficiency and the effectiveness of the communication. One experience I had, and of course we're a multi-state, multi-jurisdictional type of activity in the district court. For instance, this one specific example is in custody cases under the Uniform Child Custody Jurisdiction Enforcement Act. We have to have hearings sometimes that involve people located in other states, and I had one, had the opportunity one time to have one in Judge White's court. And we had to do it by telephone in his office, trying to do it with the conference call, which was very difficult. We had witnesses in Kansas. We had a court reporter in Kansas with those witnesses, but the court was not able to see, those witnesses and judge their demeanor. But it was a successful operation, even though it was achieved with some difficulty. But video conferencing, something that would be achieved through that process, ultimately would be something that we would be interested in. I had the opportunity to be a part of a webinar recently where I was able to sit in my office, and of course I was connected to the internet connection there, not wireless, but all of the conferees could see each other. And this had to do with a domestic violence issue, and the grants that are available now to some courts to allow a translator to be available by video conferencing during a hearing. And the reason for that is because of the language barriers, and sometimes it's lost in translation in a domestic violence case as to exactly what the terms mean, so that you're getting effective and good answers. And so this is a proposal, a pilot program that's being used. And so you could do video conferencing where the translator and the witness were all connected together, and that can take place in the courtroom. So anyway, the practical aspects of it, I think it's very helpful. will be helpful, and we'll continue to find more and more uses for it. And Commissioner Boggs, just back to your issue, I would hope that it could expand beyond the courtroom A and in the area that we could use it for courtroom B too.
I don't know because of the security issue, but would Skype technology be available for the courtroom for those type of hearings where you could talk to a witness in another state through Skype and have it
Well, I would hope so. I mean, anything like that we could do, again, we'll find uses for it if it's available. The technology is there first. And then certainly, then we can do those things. And again, just to go back to my personal example, and this was several years ago, and we had the witnesses in another state, but it was difficult. We had to set up. We sat in the judge's office because that's the only place we had a telephone where we could do it by speakerphone. And you know those things kind of go in and out, so it took us a while to get there, but we were able to do it. But with the technology that you've talked about, it would just facilitate those kinds of things happening more rapidly and more efficiently.
It certainly saves us a lot of money in transporting witnesses from out of state.
Right. If that were to be an issue that we needed to look at, certainly. Any other questions? Okay. Thank you for your time.
Thank you.
Appreciate it.
Before I have Sean Bryant talk about the technical aspects, let me voice John Mark's feeling, and they're very much the same as Judge Woodson, and he would like to have it specifically in this courtroom. He relies heavily on his iPad as well, although he can't envision all of the uses for this at this time. He has a few in mind, but it would also allow internet access for the attorneys that come in here on the days that we have court in this particular room. As far as using it over there at the Justice Center, again, that's a possibility to do it this time. It's a possibility to do it in the future. You know, we could always, this is not a huge elaborate deal. We could always add on to it later, but John Mark strongly supports it. And sorry that he couldn't be there. Sean, if you'll come up and tell us a little, explain to us the costs involved here and why this, you know, some of these security issues that Don has brought up.
The cost first, the reason that it's more is because it has to integrate into the network that you already have, which is fairly complex. You can actually go to Walmart if you just want Wi-Fi with no security, really. You can go to Walmart and buy a router. But the problem with that is the way that the channels work, if you have too many people on a connection, that router will have to be reset constantly, and that happens all the time. The other problem is, like, we need to be able to throttle so that the people who are in the courtroom don't hurt the bandwidth and the usage for the rest of the county. And so you have to buy a small business device at least, or like a Cisco ASA to be able to do that, and those are pretty expensive. And then on top of that, we were going to warranty the thing. I think it was a 3-year warranty. So by the time that happens, and then we have to do it on the weekend to integrate it into your system. So if that happens, then it has to be, you know, it's just a little more cost for weekend work or after hours work, but we have to bring down your entire network to do that. So that's why your costs are more, but you could buy a Walmart brand one, you know, like a Linksys or something from Walmart, and just plug in if you just wanted to broadcast, but you're not going to have the flexibility and security that you need for this network.
What are some potential security issues that we should consider if we were to buy a cheaper?
Well, you can password protect it, and that's fine for internal stuff. But what we had planned on doing is assigning, you've got 6 public IPs right now, having the ability to be able to do remote things. Skype use, like you were mentioning, we would have to secure that channel. We would have to use, I think by default they use port 80, which will be open. So to answer the Skype issue, then that's no problem. But monitoring, throttling, really just the features of the device is really what drives the cost up. But as far as security is concerned, something from, you know, like I said, with Walmart and things like that, the device itself is not going to put out the speeds because it's not a gigabit connection. And then the rest of it is kind of more based on just how many users you're going to have and how big of a radius you want to cover. Like with these particular models, the Cisco small business ones we're going to use, you might be able to cover both courtrooms over there, A and B. But the problem we won't know until we get it in. So I would suggest trying one, and if that doesn't work, try two, but we don't know how thick your walls are. We don't know if there's any kind of interference. The other thing with these devices, they cover, a lot of people have older laptops, and they only have a certain type of wireless connectivity. And if you buy, like, a Linksys from Walmart or something like that, then you end up not having compatibility for those individuals. So they'll come in and say, well, I don't see it, and then the guy sitting next to him says, well, I have my iPhone, and I see it just fine. They won't be able to use it because the device doesn't support it. So.
Okay. I would suggest in your process, mm-hmm. to try to do both first. And if it doesn't work with both, then go back to the just one courtroom instead
sure.
of trying one and then trying the other.
Okay.
Just to see if we can get by with just one router for those two courtrooms. The other thing is I'm concerned that it hasn't gone through the IT committee.
We've discussed it. I was in two of the meetings where everybody had discussed it. It hasn't been, I don't think, one way or the other. It was kind of up in the air, like some of the officials are looking at possibly doing this. They had some questions for me. One of the other things about security was a keyword search. You don't want to have it just open where people can look at whatever they want while they're on the internet. You want it pretty limited. If you don't, the other problem there is people that have a virus on their laptop and don't know it, they bring it to your network, and if it's integrated improperly, then now it's trying to spread to the rest of your network, and that's another security thing. But we have discussed it twice, but it hasn't been very thorough as far as, you know, like we normally do. So.
Let me tell you, in my mind, what I'd like to see. I'd like to see A and B capable. I'd like to see this courtroom capable, mm-hmm. and I'd like to see the Justice Center capable.
Yes, sir.
That we'll be making, plus your charges, plus the security software that we'll need, so that they can look at them. We can have it in front of us at our next meeting.
Yes, sir.
And then we can act on this side.
Sure.
But I would like to go as far as we can, as inexpensive as we can.
Okay. And you can buy some smaller models. The issue there is we just don't know how many people are going to be connecting. Does anybody have any idea how many individuals they think on average would be connecting to a particular courtroom? Because we might buy some smaller devices for some of the smaller courtrooms and then go for, you know, the standard device for this particular courtroom. Does anybody have that answer?
Just like what's it said. You know, if you have it,
I know.
They're going to use it.
Which is why we opted for this one, because we know it works.
Yeah, and
so.
I've noticed it in my business that, yeah, I thought, well, one, maybe two.
Right.
Now there's as many as 8 or 9 people on that system.
Yeah.
So it's...
And as far as I was going to answer your question about the password, what we like to do is we like to have a cycle where every week it changes, and then, you know, we give it to the judge, or we can have them emailed out, or however you guys want to do that. That's probably the most secure way to do it. Otherwise, if you leave it open, every person that comes in with a cell phone that has Wi-Fi on will automatically connect to it by default, and that's going to eat up a lot of bandwidth and stuff, and we're going to try to throttle that as low as we can so it doesn't affect the rest of the county. So.
Yeah, that's another access, too, is, you know, it's not just the number of people in the courtroom that have the laptops. You know, you're going to have clerks and aides and everybody that's affiliated
yes, sir.
with a state trial
yes, sir.
Accessing their smartphones through the same service.
So this is not something that you would want to promote to the public like a coffee shop. This is something that you would want to make available for those that really needed it.
Right. I mean, in my business, I have people that park out in the parking lot to use it, you know, because I'm not password protected. I mean, you know, I allow people in the coffee shop to use it, you know, openly. But we don't want to do that here. We want it password protected to where it's only people that need to know or to have access.
On top of that, what you can do with this particular model, and a lot of it is really the devices are very similar, but the features are what you're paying for. And one of the other features that we have is we can have it open during certain times. So you can give us a list of whenever your court's going to be open, and we can open certain windows, so after hours and stuff like that, it won't even broadcast. So.
That's a good idea.
Well, my main concern was security.
Yes, sir.
And
Sure.
Exactly what we're looking at. Security is my big issue.
Okay.
I support in all four of them. The technology's there. We need to use it. In the long run, it's going to pay for itself. You're going to have costs that you're going to eliminate because of it.
Right.
There's no doubt in my mind that will happen. And I am for it. On the cost, what were you looking at on the cost that was to do all four of them and to do it the way it needs to be done?
I think it was around $9,200. Do you have the bid with you? I think it was around $9,200 for all four.
It was under $9,500 to do all four. Consider about $2,500 per location.
And that's a 3-year warranty on the device, and the devices are about $1,000 a piece. So I'd have to look at these numbers. That is correct, and you may not. With these devices, they're really good, but
that building over there, that's sheetrock.
Then you should be fine. We're talking about thick wood or even your brick walls, stuff like that. You won't penetrate. I mean, it doesn't matter what you have. If it's just sheetrock, then I would go with one device, and I would be confident that it would work.
Let's talk about this building right here.
Yes, sir.
John, Mark, and I were talking about the ability for people that come to the clerk's office and maybe doing some research in there.
Mm-hmm.
Due to the nature of these walls, would it be strong enough to penetrate the office adjacent to the courtroom here where a landman could have his iPad with him and not have to use one of our computers?
I think it would be because you're so close, but I don't know what these walls are. I mean, is anybody? If they're pretty thick, then probably not. And if you do, it'll show the broadcast, but it'll be intermittent connectivity. They'll get frustrated connecting and disconnecting, connecting, and they'll be calling us, and it's not the device, it's because of the walls. So.
Sean, over in the courtroom A and B over there, if those walls are metal studs instead of the wood studs, is that going to make any difference?
The studs won't make a lot of difference, as long as, they're not too close together. The metal's a problem. It's any kind of metal is usually a problem. But it needs to be sheets of metal. You need to have like a firewall inside the walls to be able to cause any major issues. Aside from that, it should be fine. And we could take, what we could do is just take and this is just off the top of my head, a basic router, something we have that's probably an old one in the county somewhere. I know the sheriff's office has got one that I need to return today. But we could test it and just see how a standard broadcast does and see if it holds connectivity to cell phones and things like that. If it does, that should be fine. So.
Well, Judge, if the court's of a mind, I would like to table this issue until the next meeting and give the IT committee an opportunity to look at this just to maintain the chain of technology that we said that we would do, and then also give Sean an opportunity to test this and see if we can actually get by with three instead of four applications for this wireless technology.
So I'm hearing you say you'd like to, while we're doing it, you'd like to do it all, do all four locations.
Now, I think it's that important.
Even if it takes spending a full $10,000, $9,500 to do it?
Well, yeah, I do. And I think that not only the Indigent Fund, but also the both JPs have technology funds that they could use for theirs. And as a matter of fact, as we addressed the county clerk, she also has technology funds. They're not taxpayer funds. Those are generated funds and fees. And I think it would be a good use of that fee-based money to become more connected.
You don't think we need to just do the two and see how they work and then come back to you?
Well, let's look at the whole plan, and then we can divide it up into who pays what.
Well, I'm not talking about the paying part. I'm talking about how they work, how it's operational, and everything works good in the two courts.
No, I feel confident they're gonna work fine.
Well, if they don't think they need one, then I don't know why we're doing that at this time. Now, what you said, Judge,
that is what I said. I did not get a whole lot of support. They're much more interested in using that money to give raises and have, video conferencing capability at this time. But that doesn't mean they're opposed to it. They understand the limited dollars we have in the Indigent Defense Fund, and we didn't discuss using funds on beyond that. But Judge Dyke, Judge McNutt, they're neutral at this time.
Well, I truly think that if they're not on board on it, then we don't need to really do it down there. But I think they need to look at it, and at some point in time, if they think it's appropriate to go ahead and do it now, I don't have a problem with it, is what I'm saying. But if they don't want it at this time...
Well, I think that they have a representative.
They have two representatives on the IT committee.
On the IT committee, that'll give them additional incentive to think a little more about whether or not they want to become part of this effort. So I have a motion to table this item, and between now and the next meeting, 3 weeks from now, no, 2 weeks from now, we should have a IT committee meeting who will come back with a recommendation. Second by Commissioner Hinton, that we table this item related to wireless internet to be decided at our next meeting. All right, any other questions while you've got Sean here, or any other comments you've got?
I was just thinking, depending on how many devices you want to buy, it's not going to make a difference in terms of cost. It's exactly the same procedure that we use for everyone. The same hours are used. So if you decide to just get two, you know, or one, or whatever you wanted to do, if you want to come back later, it's not any more increased cost as far as the device is concerned. If anything, it may be cheaper. And the reason I say that is because they're always coming out with new stuff, and so if you can get something that's, you know, technology is always changing, so if you get something that obviously that's waited a little bit longer on the shelf, it'll be a little bit cheaper for you guys. So if it were me, what I would probably do is at least get the two. I think one will cover A and B. And you might even consider, if the clerks want to use stuff, you know, putting one of the ones that you were going to use in courtroom A or B in her office. So, you know, at least you'd have the ability to do that and the freedom to do that if you can stick one in A and B, one here, and if the Justice Center wanted to use one, and then you could consider the clerk's office if the one in here didn't cover her.
Well, the clerk's office does provide computer access already, so it's
that's
not
true.
Quite as critical.
Okay. As far as comments, that's it for me.
It could be a recommendation of the IT.
Sure, and I'll discuss all this with them. I'll be at the meeting. So.
John, the other thing I think they're aware of, there's $20,000 in JP1's technology fund, $12,000 in JP2's technology fund, $1,900 in the county and district court's technology fund, in addition to the MSPS.
Do those balances include the monies that we just spent to upgrade Judge Dyke's computer equipment? You know, she
should
got.
Be, if those invoices had come through, they'd be
and they may not have.
And JP2's are $6,600, then it reflected her balance is down to $12,000 after $6,600 paid. So if it was in Collins, the other thing is.
Well, my only discussions with them thus far have been using this
well,
Indigent Defense
to
money.
Use that money. That money can only be used for limited.
Well, I think we'll have a whole new set of comments come on behalf of the Justice Center once we have the IT meeting, so we'll have a better idea then.
I'll coordinate that with Chris, and I'll follow up with that. So.
Anything else?
Call the question.
All right. We've got a motion and a second to table this matter. All those in favor, say aye.
Aye.
All right. Thank you. Appreciate it.
Thank you.
All right, again, some more technical discussion. Consider and possibly approve purchase of a new computer and shredder for adult probation to be paid for with pretrial fund money. Gilbert? Yeah, there you are back there. I knew I saw you come in. Gilbert's here from adult probation and would like to propose this to you and explain what this pretrial fund is that is available to give them an upgrade on a needed computer and shredder.
Basically, anyone who is placed on pretrial intervention is required to make a $500 pretrial fee, so to speak. That's required. We are allowed by law to, or I say we, anyone that is directly related to the pretrial fund, whether that may be collections, those kinds of things, are allowed to use those funds, so to speak. We are basically asking for approximately $2,000 to purchase a shredder and a new computer out of those funds. We may not use the entire $2,000. It may be less than that. I've spoke with Sean probably a dozen times. He and I played phone tag a few times to find out exactly what all we need for the computer, but we don't foresee that it will be the entire $2,000 for both items.
Okay. Would you explain to them what the pretrial program is, just a little bit more? And sure. Do we happen to know, do you know how much we have available in that fund?
Yes, that was one of the things that I hope Chris did.
She did. Office. Yes, sir.
There's $21,000 in there right now, $18,000 of it was money. I think last year was the first year this.
I believe so.
That began in 2010 or 2011?
2011, I believe. I think last year was the first year I had money.
So we built up that much in a year's time?
We didn't know how much we were going to collect. We didn't budget it. But this year I had budgeted $18,000 to help fund John Mark's office. So it was $18,000 carryover. We're anticipating collecting $18,000 again. So far, we've collected about
$2,500. I believe it's 3401.
That's the only thing. You know, $2,000 will be able to use that going forward from year to year. The budget will continue to get it done tomorrow. We already right. Determine how much of that carryover. Because basically, I'm using almost all that carryover to help fund his office this year when we were trying to save money.
Sure. No, good. Well, I'm glad we have that new source of income.
But I don't know how much it's going to be from year to year. Next year, I might not have it. So we may have to fund his office out of general fund
monies. Well, we'll continue to generate pretrial monies. I don't know if we'll generate it at the pace we did this year, but
right. We might.
Right. Okay.
Well, I think that was an action item in 2010, under the 2010 court, where we implemented that pretrial fund.
And I believe you're right. It was towards the latter part of the year. I know we currently have 69 pretrial offenders. They're each required to pay a $500 fee for the year. As Judge mentioned, basically pretrial fee or anyone who's placed on pretrial are usually the younger offenders or maybe possibly an older offender that does not have a criminal history at all. We try to give them that break by giving them the pretrial case, which as long as they successfully complete the requirements within that year, it does not go on their record. They pay a probation fee and a pretrial fee, as I mentioned, and that's basically where it comes from. We looked at the numbers last week. Like I said, we have 69 pretrial offenders. Of course, I can't guarantee that every one of them will pay that fee for the year, but I would say at least 90% of them pay that fee because they're not repeat offenders. They're not ones that we see all the time. They're not those that disregard the law and their ability to make their payments and whatnot. So I would suspect that we would be able to collect that fee that Carl mentioned.
I think the way we're probably going to address it going forward is we'll collect whatever monies come in that year and in the next year budget using those monies. I think that's going to be the safest way to do it. We had $18,000 carryover. We've already collected $2,000 or $3,000. So if they want to use $2,000, I don't see that that's a problem. Understanding that we've got the $18,000 carryover already.
Is this something that John Mark's office got approved? Or is that
part of y'all? I think all together talk about it.
Well, we discovered it in the criminal code of procedures, and we brought it to John Mark's attention that he could actually start collecting the fee. He was unaware of it. So he mentioned to us, hey, that sounds like a great idea. We'll go ahead and start implementing that fee for all pretrial offenders. At that time, he had mentioned, hey, I want you guys to use the money, whatever y'all need it for. Just let me know. You guys need a new computer. And this was over a year ago. Well, we forgot about it, and I'm sure he forgot about it, and it got up to about $17,000, $18,000, something like that. And that's when he mentioned to us, hey, we got a lot of money in there. Y'all need to let us know what you want or what y'all need. And so we told him, okay, we'll get back with you. And we just never got back with him until now.
Gilbert, I'm kind of a technology scavenger, and I'm circling. Is there
Yes, there is. The computer that we're replacing, basically, she collects all the fees that are collected through our office, which would be directly with the pretrial fee. And that computer, man, I couldn't tell you how old it is.
But it's pretty old.
It's pretty old, and it's very slow. Oh. Very slow.
Well, those are turned over to Sean. I'm assuming he determines whether to keep them.
Do what now?
I'm assuming those are all turned over to Sean.
Yeah, and I put in a request. So, yeah. Just asking.
Right.
But I would like to make that motion that approve the purchase of the computer and the shredder for the probation through the pretrial.
Have you made your need known to anybody about needing another computer?
I have.
Okay, because we do have those two at the Justice Center.
Well, I thought there was just one. They were buying one, weren't they?
$6,600. I'm assuming that's more than one.
Well, it was three scanners, two printers, and I thought it was a couple of computers. But we'll look at that.
Okay. Well, that's a whole other issue, but I make my motion.
Second.
Okay, motion by Commissioner Boggs, second by Commissioner Fields to approve the purchase of a new computer and shredder for adult probation to be paid for with pretrial fund monies. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All right, thank you, Gilbert.
Thank you, sir.
Appreciate it.
Thank you.
All right, item number six, consider and possibly approve travel and seminars for Titus County employees and elected officials. I don't have any.
We don't have any.
Amazing thing. Shoot. All right, item number seven, approve oral and written reports of our county officials. Motion by Commissioner Boggs.
Second.
Second by Commissioner Hinton. All those in favor of approval of our written reports say aye.
Aye.
Item number eight, consider and possibly approve our treasurer's report. Motion by Commissioner Boggs.
Second.
Second by Commissioner Hinton. All those in favor of approving our treasurer's report, say aye.
Aye.
Thank you. Carl, do we have any budget amendments for item number nine?
We have one. This is number 37 for last year. This involves a little bit of a cleanup for the year. This is from 2004 bond, as you all recall, we financed the 2004 bond in 2011, the lower interest rate. That's,
well, okay.
That's the last of the money left over. That's the bond that was to pay for the Hart's Bluff and the Chapel Hill Road. Hart's Bluff turning lanes and lining the Chapel Hill. That's just some of the paperwork involved. Yes. Ed Moore should be the one contacting me when it's time to start doing that. There's about, if you look over at the building construction fund on the bottom of your second page of your cash report, $22 million up to 11 million.
Page four.
Page two.
Page two.
Bottom of page two. It'll be very bottom one. Fund 076, that's the construction one. $22 million up there. I don't know how fast it is, but the project's $73 million roughly for that part, phase one. Obviously, if we don't borrow money, it's very, we have to, we'll pay the interest. But I don't know if it's going to, my guess is probably the August. I mean, I don't really know.
I figure when I get started, unless it's going to go pretty quick.
Yeah.
Well, if it's $73 million, yeah, how?
$73 million over 3 years.
So that's only about $20 million a year if they pace it out.
I figure up the first part of it will be pretty expensive, but that's when they'll be doing the overpasses.
Well, August would be 6 months. I don't think we're going to turn to the 6 months.
I don't know.
You know, paint's supposed to be keeping us posted on how fast the money's going. I'll obviously be watching the gears how fast it goes. We'll have some information for a long time. Because I still have to have a certain amount of time to do all the paperwork that has to be done before the bonds will be issued.
Speaking of paint, Judge, I think we need to have them continue coming to court and supporting us. Maybe even more often than they did before. That would be what I would have done.
Be a good time to do that, because I have some questions myself.
Okay. And I think they intend to do that. I think she didn't expect to have had a whole lot to talk about today, is why they're not here, but I'll make sure she understands. And if she feels anything different, I'll have her explain that to you. But I would imagine it would not be hard for them to get somebody here on a regular basis.
That's one reason I'd like to.
The next page has the last part. So 33 million.
Yeah.
What did you say?
It's 33 million.
Anybody want to see this budget?
I talked to the William Brothers Construction out here, met their general manager, and they said for the, until about the middle of the summer, most of the work they're going to be doing is moving dirt and getting ahead. Getting the dirt in there where it'll start being compacted, but also if, you know, settle over this period of time, they're going to try to get the dirt work before they start the concrete.
Well, of course, I mean, most of the money, I'm assuming, is going to be spent on actually that part,
correct.
But they're still going to be spending some money on the other two parts.
That's correct.
It just doesn't go as fast until they actually start.
Well, that was why I kind of hoped that Jenny would be here, is because they don't have much to report on. You know, those scrapers are still parked out there, and I was wondering. You know, we were told dirt would be flying January the 2nd. Well, you know, I've seen some utility people out there, but I haven't seen weed guys out there with the dirt. So I was just wanting an update on when that might begin. It seems to be a topic of discussion at the barbershop.
Yeah.
All right, we do have the one budget amendment that I'd like to get your decision on. Motion by Commissioner Hockaday for this single budget amendment, second by Commissioner Hinton. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All right, item number 10, signed pay orders, approved payments. Motion by Commissioner Hockaday.
Second.
Second by Commissioner Hinton. All those in favor of approving paying our bills say aye.
Aye.
Closing comments, if any. Start on my right, Commissioner Boggs.
No, I have no comments.
All right, thank you. Commissioner?
Judge, I just have one thing I'd like to announce. Next Tuesday, the Civic Center, Kenny Rockman will be involved with the pesticide study. This may be if anybody wants to have that degree of certification. I know I have a hand in certified, and I'm certified myself. Chemicals or whatever you might need, depending on what you're trying to do. There will be a school there, and I appreciate you putting that on. He's done that for the last few years. It's a real good program. It helps our area.
17?
17, yes, sir. Be next Tuesday, start at 8:30, but if somebody needs to be certified, they can, they're going to have a scoop there, plus you can get your hours from the union. So that would be next Tuesday, yes, sir.
Not just an informative meeting, but a way somebody could actually get their license, applicator's license.
They will have the applicator license, and they will take that and be certified.
And this is at the Civic Center?
At the Civic Center, and I believe it starts at 8:30, sign up starts at 8:00.
Okay, that's also the day that People's Telephone will be meeting at the Civic Center with a public meeting about their...
Last mile.
Well, their...
Infrastructure bill.
Trunk line around the county. And there's been some concern by Dr. Brad Johnson at the college that someone from the county be there to lobby with People's Telephone to expand their initial effort in establishing the trunk line, because I think instead of beginning with a loop, I think they're beginning with a straight shot from Mount Vernon to Region 8 to the college through downtown, or through the middle of Mount Pleasant, which is focusing on the most populated areas in the educational facilities. And I think the real benefit is, you know, to do the loop around, the trunk line around, so that we can get last mile providers to the people who live in outlying areas. And that would be a concern that the court might have.
What time does that be?
9:00.
That's a construction meeting, is it not?
Pardon me?
Is that just a construction meeting? I thought that was just a construction meeting.
As I understand it, it's a meeting that we should be at to discuss it with People's Telephone people.
Tuesday the 17th, 9:00 a.m., Civic Center.
Was originally in last year's budget, got pushed back to this year's budget, it is budgeted in this year's budget.
Commissioners?
I have nothing, Judge.
I don't have anything, Judge, but...
Thanks, everybody.
In reference to that People's Telephone meeting, might be worth a phone call to Brad and see what exactly he had in mind for our representation.
I'm going to. And I'll be available to be there if that's something that he, if this is that meeting he's referring to, that it's important we attend. Any of you that would like to come, please note that. All right, thanks, everybody, for coming. Relatively short meeting.
Move to adjourn.
Second.
Motion and a second. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Thank you.
Hey, Don.